Today the wind took away my kippah, but I bring kippah from the Kotel. I have many, many amazing memories from the Kotel. Kotel is the Western world. In the Western world, it's called often wailing wall. I don't know one Israeli that calls it a wailing wall.
Before
1948. Today, we don't call it wailing wall. We call it Western wall because we are back. Because the people is back. Israel is very much in need of prayer right now. Those of us that are following me through this little recording, I must say how much I appreciate the American minister Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee is an amazing man. He really believes in God. He really loves God's people, Israel, and also all the believers. He's an amazing servant of God. And I was thinking of the attacks that came against him recently. You may be aware of it. How much there's misrepresentation concerning Israel today. It's unbelievable. 3 years ago, thousands of people that were more pro-Israel, or that phrase may not say it all, but I should say lovers of Israel, biblical lovers of biblical Zion. Many of them are either confused, or a good number, I mean a sad number of them, have turned against Israel. It's very, very sad. An amazing thing is that it happened really after this war, because people do not understand what is written in the Bible. Shaul, Paul, the apostle, he said to the Corinthians, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do you look upon things? Do you evaluate things like they appear to you? That is the challenge. Most of the world goes by what meets the eye. You know, like the pictures and media and the news. And they are unable to see the spin. They are unable to see the spin that is through the media. The media shows how many houses went flat in Gaza. Gaza was like a prospering, Gaza City was like a prospering, prosperous city by sight before the war. And it's like, it's all flat, destruction. Everything is gone. But what the cameras don't show you is the underground city, which was filled with terrorists, the weaponry, the missiles, and every children's home, basically every children's home, it's pretty much so, filled with weapons, missiles, the terror, the venom, for one purpose only, to destroy Israel. What the media does not show, how diligently Israel drop leaflets, telling we're coming, go away, go away, go away. We were given, as a nation, no good options. Now the other thing is true also. Somebody may come and say, some of the soldiers, they lost their control. Maybe they shot too much. We don't know how often that happened. That may have happened, but that was never our policy. And Israel has been trying to bring to justice if there were cases like that. Israel has been pretty good in bringing to justice if there were misconduct from our side. But when you fight, my friends, when you fight against terror, it's not like any other war. It's not like normal war. You're fighting against devilish hatred, venom, and tricks, and lies, and everything. And then the media goes to Gaza and asks them, how are they and what are the statistics? And I saw how they report in the West, that they report what the terrorist side said. And what Israel said, that was always like reportedly that is Israel acclaims that. But then what came from the other side was usually told like a fact. It was very cleverly placed that way. Now, were there people that were caught in the crossfire? Yes. They were. The Christian community that many times may be under threats, I don't know. They were many times kind in their comments towards Hamas and rough in their comments towards Israel. Maybe it was because they were threatened. I have no desire to be judgmental towards them because there are so many things they don't know. And also so many things that the Christian world in Gaza, maybe they were not told. Maybe they were not told. So we never fully know what was going on. But I'm going to tell you one little thing here, by the grace of God. I personally know an Israeli soldier who is part of my family group, who is a believer. He was in the front lines. He was a medic right in Gaza. He was there in front of the battles. And he saw an Arabic woman stuck there with a bloated leg. You know that when water gets into your leg and you're in incredible pain. He stopped the war activities for a moment. He went and treated that lady and took the water out and relieved the pain. And as soon as he did that, the son of that lady was one of the Hamas or I don't know what group, fighters, and started shooting at Israelis. And then an Israeli shot that son to death who was attacking Israelis. This is a real picture of the war. The mother may not need to be blamed for the son's terror activities, but the Israeli soldier went and helped that woman. This is typical. This has happened. These kind of things have happened often. And there are people on the Arabic side who know about this and secretly respect that. So I'm not trying to demonize any side. War is war. I'm just saying one thing, one more thing. Then there was an Arabic boy, young boy, who got caught in a crossfire. He got caught in a crossfire. I know this testimony. It was given to me firsthand by this man who was the actor here. So that man, that boy had just died in the cross, this little Arabic boy, maybe 4 years old, I'm not sure of the age. So this Israeli medic took away his helmet, dug a grave, and placed the boy into the grave, and I'm sure he said a prayer for him, whatever blessing. And so the Israeli military, whatever the rank was, who was over this medic, who also had pretty good rank there, he said, "You made a mistake. You took your helmet off. It's not allowed. It's dangerous. But because of your action, no one normally does these kind of actions in the heat of the battle. You're the best of the best. I'm not going to reprimand you. Just be careful and keep your helmet on." This is what is happening. War is brutal. War is hard. And there are actions of mercy. Nothing is as it seems. And then I'm going to say one more thing. Now, this is to show also the other side. In that direction, we have the Mount of Olives, right, close to us. And there was a middle-aged Arabic man, middle-aged, whatever that means. I know this man very closely. I talk hours and hours and hours with that man. A Jewish man gave this man, a Muslim man, a Bible. Many years ago, he became a believer. He became a wonderful believer. Whatever that wonderful means, I mean someone who was living in such a way with the Lord that he's an example to everybody. So he was on the Mount of Olives, and one day a man from the other religion, not Jewish religion, the other religion, attacked him and knifed him at least in 7 places in his back, and he was there dying by the roadside. And an Arabic taxi, a Muslim, came by, picked him up, put him in on the back seat of his taxi, and rushed him to the hospital. So if anybody's bleeding, you know what happens to the nice taxi seats. Taxi always has to be nice, and who would ever jump into a bloody seat? He was a man of mercy. He was a good Samaritan. He happened to be Muslim, but he was a good Samaritan. A good Samaritan, my friends. He took him to hospital very fast. His life was saved. And today this man is even married and is walking with the Lord. And I'm not revealing his name. You might even guess who he was. Well, all I am saying is this. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. The Muslim taxi driver had a heart of Yeshua. I'm not debating here how much he knew about Yeshua and how much he didn't know about Yeshua. I'm saying he had a heart of Yeshua. Many taxis, by the way, went by. Or many cars went by. And they left him there to die. But the good Samaritan happened to be a Muslim. There are many good Samaritans who are Jewish. Man looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward circumstances. God looks at the heart of the matter. And God looks at the heart of the person. I'm going somewhere with this story. Next, I'm taking a very strange example. There was a man who's now not on the earth anymore. His name was Arthur Blessed. He was walking with very strange thing on his shoulder, a cross, through the world. He was walking in Africa and telling everybody there, there's a loving God who paid for the sins of the world, and he wants to know you and meet you. And he met so many people. Then he met this little boy there. And this little boy came to him and said, he realized he's some kind of important person. Well, he is an important person. So he said, "Do you know my name? Do you know my name?" That stopped Arthur in his tracks. This little boy wanted to be known that he's not just nobody. So he sees this very unique person coming. He wanted to make sure that he knows his name. That changed Arthur's heart so much. And his message was, there's somebody there who knows your name, whoever you are. But let me go on with this story. So he's walking with his cross. He's walking forward. He's sweating, it's hot. And then there's a station which is called a mission station in the middle of Africa. Some kind of emissaries from America. So he knocks on the door and says, I see you have like a motel here. I've been walking here with this cross and talking this message to everybody. So maybe you can have a room for me. I have some money in my wallet, so I'll pay. So I need to cool off for maybe an afternoon or more. Can I just rent a room? They said, this place is made for missionaries. A word that I never really use. This place is made for missionaries. So what mission organization are you part of, and who are you representing? He said, God called me to walk around the world and tell the world that he loves them, and he gave a perfect redemption, and he loves everybody. So I've been with this message around every continent so far. What organization are you with? Do you have any papers? Sorry, we can't give you a room even for money because you don't qualify for a missionary. Arthur went like, okay, that's your rule, so I can respect that. Back to the road. He picks up the cross on his shoulders and he walks on and walks on and walks on. Hot. I'm exhausted. Lord, whatever. A van pulls next to him. A van. Big van. Cameraman. Camera people, like that camera here, they're taking pictures of Africa. Hey, who are you? Well, the man said, we saw an article about you that there's a strange man walking after through Africa and the world, and he's excited about this idea. So apparently that's you. Yeah, I'm Arthur. So are you like believers or Christians, something like that? No, we are atheists. We are atheists, but we like what you're doing. This looks really good. And by the way, we got a room over there. We got a room, if you mind joining us. And we could give you a free room and board for whatever, a week or a few days, so you can cool off and then pick up on your journey. Oh, I'll take up with that. And they were so nice to him, and they wanted to hear his story as atheists. So Arthur's question was after that, who are really the believers? And who are the atheists?
Yeah.
And who are the Christians? And who are the missionaries? Missionaries, if we use that name.
Yeah.
Who are the real ones? And my question is, who are the Good Samaritans? Who are they? Is it maybe you? Is it maybe me? And do these labels really mean anything? I'm not saying that this, what is written, means nothing. I'm saying this means everything. And what is here means everything. But who are the people that really caught it, what it's saying? We have a... Prime Minister who is called Ben Gurion, first Prime Minister of Israel. He's got a nice museum there in the Negev, you know. And you can go to the to his library, kind of, not inside, but you can peek in through the window. And you can see what kind of books there are. And if you have good glasses like I have, you can see what books are in his bookshelf. I looked carefully, and there was a book by Hal Lindsey. And the book said, The Great Late Planet Earth. It's about Bible prophecy, about Israel. His timeline was a little bit like jumping the gun. But other than that, it's an excellent book. He has good ideas there, whatever. He jumps the gun a little bit. He thought that things would happen a little bit faster. But hey, that's forgivable. And so Ben Gurion had that book in his bookshelf. And I learned, people had gone to Ben-Gurion and asked him, what do you think about the New Testament? You know what he said? He said, the New Testament is a great book, but where are the people that live it? Ben-Gurion said, the New Testament is a great book, but where are the people that live it? Okay. Very interesting. We're talking about interesting things. We're talking about people that have the heart of Yeshua. And you know what Yeshua said? Follow the light that you have, and you will become the children of light. He said, I'm the light of the world. But he said, follow the light that you have, and you shall have more light. The path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, is a shining light, shining more and more until the perfect day. So if people that know mercy, grace is the idea, not compromise, but grace where it is needed, if they follow that idea, they will find where these footsteps go. There is a religion in the world. I don't even need to call it what it is by name. And there's a meeting happening right now, probably right now, in Switzerland, where they're talking about war. They are talking about peace, war, or peace. It's not what it looks like. Israel is at the heart of this question. It is way deeper than having nuclear weapons, not having nuclear weapons, having these kind of missiles, not having these kind of missiles. This is, the heart about it is, should Israel be here? should Israel live. There are attacks against Israel that are with weapons, missiles, armies, plans. Then there are very clever philosophical attacks against Israel. They're really sharp arrows. And they are manifold. One of them is Israel today doesn't have the right DNA. Ashkenaz Jews are not really the Jews. And other people might have something against Sephardi Jews. And one of them is like this concerning the Khazari nation. Khazari nation came into Judaism. And then there are debates that how much of Khazari people are in among the Ashkenazis. You know what? This is not really even relevant. Part of the debate is the Jewish nation or Israeli nation, we should rather say, is it biological DNA thing or is it a religion? Yes, it is a nation. Yes, it is biological. Yes, it is. But Israel's been always open to receive people like Ruth. There's been always openness to receive. Openness. So it is biological. Yes, it is a nation, but it also is open to receive those that would come, but with good intentions. Yes. So the Khazari question has been brought there. And then sometimes there is a hardcore proving that the Khazaris are just a couple of percentage. It doesn't really mean anything. And then there may be an attempt to prove that Khazari is not really there or is very small, insignificant. Or on the other hand, the other side is trying to say, oh yeah, all the Ashkenazim are Khazarim. Now that's impossible to prove that. But you know what is the real thing? Even Khazari nation, Khazarim, those, whatever the percentage is, they are from three Hebrew tribes that came back, primarily three Hebrew tribes, Manasseh and a couple of others, Shimonites and so on, that came back to the nation. They were once part of it. Yeah. So whatever the percentage is, does not overthrow it. Believe me, God has had the nation of Israel together, and then whoever Ruth want to come in, or in the time of David, King David, there was 157 plus thousand, 157,000 plus serving of the Edomites. In the time of King David, they were serving Israel. And guess what? Probably a good part of them joined the nation. If they joined the nation with good intention, it doesn't overthrow Israel. It's fine. Israel's still biological nation. I don't know how many of them after David remained and joined the nation, or how many went back. It does not matter. God's promises there for Israel stand, and they are there forever. Israel is a biological nation, and if there's one Ruth or 10,000 Ruths, it does not overthrow the plan. I could prove it with many scriptures if we have the time. But now we have to consider this. Let's take the theme that we were talking about in the beginning of this. We were talking about the grace of God. Passover. Pesach is about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God. And the word hesed connects to the grace, mercy seat or seat of grace. This mercy is kind of an idea that when someone is in need, we show kindness, actions, extra mercy. Mercy is good. But hesed is even covenanted grace. What is called in English Bibles mercy seat is really kiseh hesed. It's a seat, throne or seat of grace, covenanted grace. The covenant box, Aron HaBrit, it's called the box of the covenant or the box, what's the other word I just used? Box of grace. What is the English term for it? Okay. Kiseh Hesed. Aron HaBrit. It's hard to fluctuate between languages. So on the top of the mercy. Aron. What is Aron in English? Ark, yeah, Ark. So it's called Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. And so it's covenanted grace. And the cover of it is called Kiseh Hesed, the seat of grace where the blood was applied. So in the Passover time, this Psalm 136 is always quoted at the end of the Passover ceremony. This becomes very, very precious, and I will read from this at the end. Oh, give thanks, Hodu le'Adonai. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Ki tov. For His mercy is forever. And the word mercy is here. Hesed, this is the covenanted grace, covenanted grace. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His grace, mercy, is forever. It says to the God of gods. That needs a little bit of explanation for English reader. We know there's one God, but Apostle Paul also said, we know there are many gods, but to us there's but one God. This means authorities, like God said to Moshe, you shall be a God, Elohim, to Aaron, meaning Elohim can mean the highest authority in a given context. So Elohim can mean the true God, the highest God, but the same word Elohim or El is also highest authority. Like in the Psalms, it relates to the judges of the earth as Elohim, and God is upset with the judges of the earth because they don't judge righteously. So in this context is give thanks unto the God of gods, the real Elohim, the highest authority of the universe, who created the universe, who is the redeeming God. So He rules over all the other authorities. He ruled over Egypt. He rules over everything. For His grace or mercy, hesed, is forever, unto eternity. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords, for His grace is unto eternity. Adonai ha-Adonim. So whatever the rulers are, judges or other rulers, His grace is forever. So let me say it in this today's context. Whatever they decide in Switzerland today, I don't know. It could be that this is it for the negotiations. Then we will hear the music. It is not a nice symphony concert. is more like the rock concert in the time of King David. Sorry for the pun. I mean, rocks were flying in the air. It's missiles. We'll see. I'm not saying anything. I don't know. But Israel is at the center of God's concern here. So are the believers in Iran. They are equally and very importantly in the heart of this matter. So when we say word for Israel, we're not saying that the believers in the world are less important. That all of God's own are important to Him. And His outstretched arms to anybody who would come. You remember King David's heart. There was a war between north and the south. And when the northern kingdom people came close to King David with right intention, David turned nobody down because he had this heart. To him who alone does great wonders. Verse 136, verse 4. God can only do wonders. Sometime in Hebrews when it says He alone does great wonders, in Hebrews sometime it comes the other way, that He can do nothing else but wonders. God can do nothing else than wonderful things, righteous things, good things. Sometimes people think that God is harsh. He allows difficult things. Oh, my friend, when in the last day there will be the judgment, all the people will be brought under the white throne, and there's a different throne to the redeemed people, which is called the judgment seat of the Messiah. But under any judgment that is coming, no one will ever come to God and say, "You did not do right." No one will ever go to God and say, "You did not give me opportunities." And when the people that resisted God all their lives, and when they will face the righteous judgment of God, they will be so humiliated. They'll be so ashamed for a moment. And they will see God did everything right, and God is a God of mercy. He does everything right. He only does wonderful things. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy is forever. To Him that made great lights, for His grace, mercy is forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy, His grace is forever. By the way, as much as we love redemption, I love redemption. I love the words, Meshalem, it is finished, it is paid. This is the last sacrifice that was needed to pay for the sins of the world. It also means it is delivered. Father, everything You gave to me to do, now it's delivered back to You. That actually has a very deep meaning. It's the same word when Judas delivered Yeshua to the evil people, the people Romans, or actually he delivered first through the hands of the Jewish people, but ultimately to Romans. So when Yeshua was betrayed, the word is delivered. It's the same word as shlam, same root as shalom. Same root word as what Yeshua said on the cross. So how come this word is the same word, delivered? it's part of the same program, because all things are reconciled to God. Even the bad part that Judas played in delivering Yeshua to be judged, and the Romans actually did the action, and the whole world is guilty for it. Jewish nation is not guilty for it any more than anybody in the world. He died for the sins of the world because he wanted no one nation is to be persecuted for that, for sure. That's very important. But just like Judas delivered Yeshua to be bound and taken to judgment, it's the same root word as when Yeshua said, "It is delivered. I delivered the payment for the sins of the world. I delivered the sacrifice. And even this suffering that I was delivered to is all part of it." I think I'm going to stop here and bring it back to Colossians chapter 1. And we could turn it to a seminar, but let's close here with the words in Colossians 1. I pray to God that we never forget this. Colossians 19 and 20, chapter 1, 19 and 20. I love this letter to Colossians. Wow. For it pleased that in him, in a Messiah, should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father in italics. And having made peace. The idea really is that all fullness found its dwelling place in the Messiah. That's fitting, pleasing. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. That is the shalom. That is the shlem. That is the meshalem or nishlam. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Everything is reconciled to God, to God's plan. It doesn't mean that the devil is going to get saved. It doesn't mean that all the evil people are going to turn from their evil ways. Many will not. The end of the book of Revelation makes it clear. Many will not. And many will. But many will not. But everything is reconciled. All things to himself, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And you were sometimes alienated by an enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. That's in his body, in his death. We are living in a world that is reconciled. Whatever you're going through is reconciled to the plan of God. The things that I cannot solve, there's many things that I find no solution. They're reconciled. Somehow they'll work out into God's plan. Maybe not the way I figure. Everything is reconciled. All people are reconciled. They can receive it or not receive it. But all situations are reconciled into his plan. Yes, the tears. Yes, the valleys. Yes, the persecution. Yes, the wars. Yes, the rumors of war. And Israel has been reconciled as well. And Israel will find the reconciliation. So may the body of the Messiah prosper. May Israel find peace, spiritually and physically. Amen.